You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's the 1st of April, but there's no April Fools here. Well, there are a couple, but I'm not one of them. It's the first day of the second quarter of 2021, and what a first quarter we've just had. So anyway, it's the 5 o'clock shadow, and it's the Doubleheader Dream Team edition with Nick Kunze from Sunland Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. And David, I'll start with you. You must be looking forward to people getting their little statements on their doorstep, or rather through their letterbox, in the next couple of days, because it's been a really good quarter, has it not?
It has, and surprisingly so, because I think if you go back to early January, when we had the storming of the Capitol, we still didn't know whether the Democrats were going to take Georgia. So, you know, it started off very uneasy. But I think as things have progressed, and I think as the vaccines rolled out, there's been an improvement. And even today, it's a little surprising that the market is as positive as it is.
Yes.
We knew that Biden was going to come out with this new infrastructure plan, the $2.25 trillion plan. But I think I thought it was already baked into the market. And
me
I'm
too.
A little surprised that people have responded the way that they have. And the other thing is that the 10-year bond has also come down. It's come down quite dramatically. You know, I thought that would be another spur to the inflation argument, but it seems to be, you know, on a positive roll, and I'm happy about that, you know, for the reasons you mentioned. When my clients are happy, hey, Nick, we're happy.
Yes, Nick, I mean, you're a different type of investor and trader. I mean, you're both long-term investors for some really big clients. But on the other hand, you have this trading background as well, Nick, which David has he's thrown it away as he's gone into the autumn of his life, let's put it that way. But, yeah.
What an intro. What an introduction, yeah.
It's been a good quarter for you as well, because we speak every single day. Well, we speak four times a week, so it must have been a good one for you and your clients.
It has been a good one. You know, with stockbroking, managing money, with Natri looking after people's wealth, as they call them, as wealth managers, etc. You know, it doesn't work in bear markets. You know, it's difficult. Mm. The market, you know, inherently, markets do go up over time, so you need to be long the market. So when markets go down and things are tough and a lot of people's house values go down, it's not a nice time to be trying to look after people's money. So when you do have solid performances, you do have a quarter like we've had coming out of a pandemic and still in lockdown here in South Africa in some sort of shape or form in level one, to get a sort of 12% return on your all share, and things feel like they're getting back, the rand's a little bit firmer. I mean, it is good. I mean, it is. You'd much rather be operating and managing money in that environment than trying to navigate an environment where the market is dropping and there's sort of little bombs all over the place and hiccups and companies blowing up. Much rather be in this environment. It's good for everyone. It's good to have an optimistic outlook.
I must say something, Lindsay. You know, listening to Nick, regardless of whether people believe that they're long-term investors. When things go the other way, they start to panic. Even though they might have a long profile in the market, there are very few people who sit back and relax and don't worry about their wealth. But generally, when things get flat and when things start to fall, believe me, they worry about their market. And for us, it's a strain. So that's the hardest thing to manage, is to manage those negative expectations, you know, when things are under pressure.
Do you?
So that's why we delight in this.
David, do you allow people? I mean, someone will phone you up and he's worth 40, 50 million rand. And he says, listen, David, have you taken any sort of action? Because I see that the NASDAQ is down 4% or whatever it is. And you say to him, listen, Dr. Rabinowitz, I don't think you should be doing anything. Yeah. How do you manage the expectations of someone who is slightly nervous about something that is going down? And how do you manage it when they're going up? Because when it's going up, it's they've been the clever ones. When it's going down, you're the villain. How do you do that?
You know what? That's the psychology of the market. And you have to manage that process. If you're in decent stocks, and that's the answer, is that you've got to know where you are and you've got to understand the quality of the businesses that you invest in. Then you can manage it easily. We can't manage the markets, you know, we can't manage the day-to-day issues. And that's, you've got to convince them. But it's, you know, the strange thing, And I've got a fairly large base. I've got a fairly decent base. I know my clients very well.
Yes.
I only had one client who was a very, very big client who actually sold out in March and cursed us and shouted at us, you know, when the pandemic hit, and actually sold out of money and sold out for cash. And even when the markets recovered, my argument at that stage is, look, I've been around a long time, and what I do find is that markets recover. And they generally, you never find your place in the market again. If you lose your place in the market, you will not come in again. And that was my argument. But I never got a call back and say, you know, you were right. You know, never.
So, he or she, I don't know. But anyway, it never came back to you. Mm-mm. And you've lost that client now. And he's probably licking his wounds now.
No, they will never come back and say, you know, I apologize. You were right. I should have listened to you. Never.
And Nick, do you have the same sort of experience?
Yeah, I had one particular gentleman who screamed and yelled and sold everything out against my judgment. And it's one of those ones. I've also, not as long as David in the market, but I've had 25 odd years being on the front line, trading very actively in the marketplace.
Yes.
And when you see things like pandemics or crashes or one-off events, like in my experience now, I take a deep breath, dust things off, and look for opportunities. In fact, I mean, I've learned now over the years to say, okay, this is good. You know, there's some shares that are trading significantly under their book values and all the rest of it, and let's phone around and see what we can pick up here. Whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would probably also been the one going, oh, what should we do? We get out of the market quick. Well, I've learned now that in this chaos and the sort of extreme swings like we saw in March and the absolute capitulation, that's actually when you sort of, I don't know, you put in your the sort of what you've learned over the years comes into play, and you say, okay, take a step back. There's some opportunities, yeah. But anyway, I had one chap who literally also, and who was worth quite a bit of money, sold everything out in March and screamed and yelled, and of course, naturally won't
at the bottom, probably, Nick. Close to the bottom.
Absolute bottom, almost to the day. Mm. Almost to the day.
Goodness me.
But I think a lot of it scars. I think he got burnt. It was a client who I sort of took over from someone else many years ago. But I think what I could tell, he had a few knocks. You know, he had been personally invested, I think, in Steinhoff and a few others. So, you know, it's very difficult. So I think, you know, his muscle memory was not wanting to repeat what he saw again. It's very difficult. And more like this, I'm reminded over the years that, you know, being involved in investing in the market, a lot of it's to do with your mindset. Eh? It's not just analyzing like David does, the accounts backwards and forwards, and he knows how to look through his books better than anyone. A lot of it's also to do with, you know, dealing with your emotions when you invest in the markets, definitely.
You know what I find, Nick? You know what's interesting, Lindsay, as well? Somebody can listen to five different, or call it six different commentators. So you can go and meet six commentators. Five of them will be bullish and say to you, like, Nick, stay in the market, do this, etc. One will be negative.
Yes.
And they'll hook onto the negative. The fear. And that's the one that they listen to and say, I just spoke to so-and-so. He says this or she says this or something like that. And that's the one. It's incredible how powerful negative news is.
Exactly, David. And if you speak to a psychoanalyst, if you speak to somebody and say, I think there's some sort of statistic, and I don't know how verifiable it is, but if you say to somebody that, if I phone you up, David or Nick, and I say, well, you know what happened? What's his name? Just got divorced from his wife. That person will then tell 11 people. If you say, that chap has just got engaged, he'll only tell three people. Yeah, bad news travels fast. It's incredible. And David, that plays into what you've just said.
Yeah, there's a lot of work done now. All of a sudden now it's the trendy thing to talk about behavioral sciences. And, you know, you've all seen the series on TV, Billions. You know, they've got the psychiatrist who, what was her name, Lindy Rhodes, whatever her name is, she's in it. But I mean, it was years and decades ago it was personalized. There was a chap called Mark Douglas who wrote a book called The Discipline Trader, and he was the first psychiatrist to look at, and he's actually a trader himself, and he looked at sort of the effects of emotions on trading, etc. A lot of research into it. And back in the day, came out and said there was actually, he put like a metrics on it. He said, if you are making money in the market, you feel like a 7 out of 10, for argument's sake. That's how good you feel, a 7 out of 10. If you look at your portfolio, your trading account, whatever, and you're down money, it hurts. And you know that. It feels like an 8 or 9 out of 10. And he was saying then, back then, the more and more it's online trading, the more and more people have access to their investments. If they look at them all day long, you can look at your account 10 times in a day, and you end up, you basically look at it and you're down money 6 times, but it feels 8 or 9 out of 10 pain. You look at it again, you actually up money, and you, over the end of the day, you actually finish up. You actually don't feel good because your emotional's quota is actually worse off. And it's just a lot of research being done. There's another one called, I could go on about all these different studies, but now all of a sudden it's fashionable. But there's a real truth behind it, that actually, if you can strip on emotions out of trading, it's investing, it's so hard to do. But if you can do that, I think you're already off to a good start.
I've always said that there should be a psychologist or a psychoanalyst or some sort of brain doctor on a desk, and it says, right, Nick Kunze, you've made 22% in the first quarter, and you're feeling pretty cocky. I can see that you're feeling cocky. Just take a week off now. Or David Shapiro, you've lost.
You are 100% correct. There's another book by John Cotes, which is called The Hour Between the Dog and the Wolf. And he's another psychiatrist that studied traders on the floor. And he's Lindsay is 100% spot on, David. Actually, they've taken traders off that have been successful on the trading floor. The minute they have a couple of winning streaks, they remove them straight away because you said your brain cells, your old DNA, whatever, kicks in and you get arrogant. So, Lindsay's absolutely spot on. You take them off the floor. And you take them away and you give them a breather. It's a spot on.
Very good. Let's have a look at
Lindsay
the stock prices.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah. I am a psychiatrist. I mean, I talk to you too. I mean, I like to think that my wisdom actually sinks in twice a week with you two, freaks. Anyway, here we go. The dollar rand. Look at the rand. It's unbelievable. It's 1.6% better today at 14.66. Well done, the rand. The British pound against the rand, that was the dollar rand, by the way. The British pound against the rand is 20.28. The euro rand is 17.25. The euro dollar is 1.1766. So that's a slightly weaker US dollar by 0.25%. So we've got independent rand strength, and it could be to do with the trade balance. It could be to do with commodities. I don't know. But the rand is really in the ascendancy at the moment on this first day of the second quarter. The cable is 138.30. That's the British pound against the US dollar. The gold price is doing extremely well. It's 17.30. In 24 hours, it's up $46 an ounce, or 2.75%. Platinum is up 4%, or nearly $50 an ounce. And palladium is where, please, Nick?
Also joining in the party, from earlier losses, it's reversed up $45, 1.6%, $2,668 an ounce.
So you swear. Okay, let's have a look at the oil price now, because obviously oil is the big daddy, and I'll come to the CRB index in a moment, even though it does take a little while to update. I can't get the oil price at the moment, but let's have a look at the South African 10-year
bond.
I'll
give it to you guys if you want. It's
oil,
1.25% firmer at West Texas, just under $60 now, $59.90. And Brent is 63.34, up a percent as well, of course, around the middle of OPEC as they're meeting as we speak.
The South African 10-year bond yield is now 9.56.5, which is around about a 1% rise in the yield. The US 10-year, which David was referencing earlier on, I mean, he did exaggerate somewhat, saying it's plunged, but okay, it's down 3.75% to 168.
That's a plunge.
It's not a plunge, it's a slight correction. David, and Nick, where, please, is Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is grinding higher. It's up just $200 on the day, which is neither here nor there for Bitcoin, but it's trading at $59,160 gets you a Bitcoin.
Oh my God.
Very good indeed. Okay, what I'm going to do now is tell you obviously there's not much on the Stock Exchange News Service ahead of a four-day weekend because of the Easter holiday, but I'm going to tell you my top five up and down. I've got Harmony. Up 10.1%. Look at that thing. Because of the gold price, obviously. And guess what? Goldfields up 7.4%. DRD Gold, another gold producer, up nearly 6%. Sappi, which produces paper but is still a commodity producer, up 5.5%. And Sasol, up 5.5%. On the downside, Cartrack down 7%. Liberty Holdings down 3.25%. Telkom down 3.1%. Rainet down 2.8%. And Supergroup down 2.75%. David, any other companies that caught your eye on this day before the long weekend?
No. Not really. You've covered most of them, I think. Yes, what did recover, and you just missed it, was Naspers and Process.
They just got knocked 5. Off the list, yes. That's right.
Softening of the
yields. But they've been under pressure. But I think China also turned around. Yeah.
Can I also throw in the comment as well that Aspen, guys, Aspen 151.88, it's up 5.25% today.
Well, they're printing a lot of because the J&J has been approved in South Africa.
31 million doses they're going to manufacture of Johnson & Johnson. So quite good news for SA and good news for Aspen.
David, have you been injected yet with a vaccine?
Yeah, no.
Why not?
I'm in line. I'm in the over 60s, but I have booked a flu injection. There you are. But I haven't got not there yet, but I will register. I think it's important. You know, I want to tell you something. I've been trying to get to the US, and it's very important. I want to see my daughter. I want to see that.
Yeah.
But the ban is still intact, and it's very difficult to get. You can't get visas. I know the consulate is now opened, and they're processing forms, but they will not release them until such time as the travel ban is lifted. So you can hand your passport in, and you can do things like that. But they won't let you go until until the ban is lifted. So it gives you an idea how difficult things are.
Will you have to have your vaccine passport?
I don't know. I'm investigating that. I would hope that it does happen because things are opening up in the US. I think people are a lot easier about it. Simply that my daughter's had both her Pfizer vaccines, and it's pretty easy to get. My son-in-law's had his. He had the J&J, and most people I know, they have been vaccinated.
Yes.
And of course, that gives them the confidence to ease things. I mean, they're still very cautious, but they now will go to people and dine inside, if everybody has been vaccinated. And now it's going down to the kids as well. So, you've seen a complete change of attitudes there. But for us, we're still battling here.
And Nick, you're not in the same age bracket as myself and David, but you must be thinking, you've got a family and you need to obviously take care of your health.
I've got no problems getting a vaccine. Absolutely.
But can you get one at your age? Because you're quite young.
No.
You can't get one.
No, it'll be. Look, there's no. I don't know. You haven't seen all the detail down here, Lindsay, and David's obviously familiar with it. But there's no real game plan. Eh? We've got. There's no plan. I mean, we've had Discovery being quite vocal the last 2 days. Their CEO of the medical division coming out saying they've got 21 or 31 sites ready for rollout on the 1st of May. But it makes no difference because we don't know when the vaccines are arriving in this country, and we don't know when the private sector are allowed to use them. Because at the moment, the vaccine producers are only allowed to supply to governments, not to private enterprises. So that we don't know yet. But I did see a headline that on the back of that Johnson & Johnson vaccine that we've got 31 million doses arriving at some stage in the second quarter, which is half the SA population.
You know what I want to say? What I'm baffled about, we're going into a four-day holiday. I would have thought this would be 24 hours a day, that you would just say, okay, let's go. Let's get the people vaccinated. And yet 4 days will go by and a couple of people are vaccinated.
We don't have any vaccines. The 600,000 doses that were supplied to South Africa was part of the trial that was given to us by Johnson & Johnson. So that wasn't a vaccine. That was a kind of like a gift. And we ran around as guinea pigs being tested on. But thankfully, all the frontline workers got them. Yeah, and all intents and purposes, it saved our lives. But the actual vaccines from COVAX or what has been entitled to South Africa have not arrived in South Africa. We don't have them. So we don't know. And I must be honest, you know, you can be optimistic, but it's been very quiet from the government when they're actually going to be arriving.
Yeah. I'm just terribly disappointed. And on that note, my daughter's anniversary today.
Oh, congratulations to her.
Congrats.
She's been phoning me, 17 years of marriage. So I'm going to say goodbye.
I'll say goodbye. David Shapiro is from Sassoon Securities. Mazel tov to your daughter. And we'll speak to you next week. Have a lovely long weekend, David. Nick Kunze, you'll stay with me for a second because you're going to give me the JSE Securities Exchange closing indices and also the latest U.S. indices with an S&P futures contract very close to 4,000. Away you go.
Well, not very close to 4,000. Ring the bell, ding, 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 because we touched 4,000. S&P 500 today crossed the 4,000 mark for the first time. I think just general optimism, economic activity, I don't know, swift vaccinations, say what you want. Jobless numbers are also quite a little bit better than expected as well. But anyway, S&P 500 spot. 4,007 for the first time in history.
Can you believe it?
S&P futures are, they'll get there. 3,997, 3 points to go on the front on the contract. So my target is 4,000 with S&P futures. So I'm still a little bit light away from there. We have the Dow Jones Industrial. I think this is going to almost a new all-time high as well. And the NASDAQ, the big power ahead today, 1.5% firmer, 13,449, led higher by most of the techies are pushing that one higher. Locally, also, another good day. I mean, we've had a really, really solid start to the new quarter. JSE Top 40 Index, 1.16% firmer, 700 points up. JSE All Share Index creeping back near its all-time high. I think Lindsay was about 69 and some change the all-time high. Yeah. We're at 67,236. That's a 1.13% firmer. If we actually look at the individual indices, very little in the red. We've been led higher, as we said, by technology. David mentioned Prosus and Naspers, a real flyer today, out 5.3% Naspers, Prosus 5.25%, and of course, oil index up a lot with Sasol, a 5% winner. Healthcare 2.97%, that was the Aspen I spoke about. Industrials 0.76% firmer. And on the downside, a little bit of a lag, financials. I don't know why, because the Rand's quite strong, but financials were down just a sniff. And consumer non-cyclicals also just a little bit weaker. But a solid, solid start to the second quarter here in South Africa.
Fantastic. You can sleep well, you financial services people, over the long weekend. And hopefully nothing happens on Monday in the United States of America because they don't observe Monday, I don't think, as a holiday. But anyway, the fact is that on Tuesday morning, Nick, you and I will speak for the opening and hopefully the positive sentiment you've just articulated will still be prevailing. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.